Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, the numbers are in. Eternals has topped the box office. Morbius has come out with a new trailer. They're leaning into the MCU, and I guess we're here to accept them. And there's all kinds of spoilers on the internet. Stay off the internet again. Except to listen to us. All that and more of this that we have no control over.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And our producer today is the lovely Ashley Coffin. How you doing, Ash?
I'm fantastic.
Sweet. Well, it's good to have you, as always. And we're here to talk news and feedback, as we do, about on a weekly basis these days. And first thing first, stay off the internet is the headline story today. Welcome again to the internet. Stay away, please.
Yeah, and please stop and don't post spoilers on our feedback page because I got spoiled and I'm mad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, you did
stay
too?
Stay away, don't
you
post
most
it.
Of both,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that you both did. Dang.
And BBK.
And BBK? Crap.
Got all three of us.
Yes, we are keeping the doing our best, our moderator warrior best to keep the Facebook page clean of spoilers. But there are apparently leaks and spoilers. The other way to think about this is they could all be fake. Just like
I have seen
a couple pictures that I think were supposed to be the leaks.
I don't want them to be fake though, and now my expectations. You
that's
know, that's
true.
What makes me angry.
Well, see, I just convinced myself that it very well could be fake. And then I'm like, I'm just okay because I just don't expect anything. Could be either way.
Matt's really good at convincing himself of anything he needs to.
I like when Marvel lies to me. I like it even better when I lie to myself.
I'm doing great. That's the lie I tell myself every day.
Dark, man, dark.
Sorry. I don't mean to bring it
terribly
dark.
It's how we all make
it
through. It's actually sound advice.
It's not bad. Not bad. So, yeah, there's not really any news here except just be careful out there. I went on Twitter and like literally just because the way my Twitter feed is, I think it was the MCU cast Twitter feed. So our Twitter feed is very Marvel heavy. And I was just like scrolled down and I saw a lot of pictures that I was like, I think these are those leaks people are talking about. Whoops. I shouldn't have opened Twitter today. So just stay off of places that you think there might be spoilers. We're trying our best to keep the Stranded Panda chat clear of that.
Especially Twitter. Stay off of Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just, again, good advice in general.
Yeah. That's just great advice in general. Like stay off of social media.
We're giving you pearls today, people. We're giving you pearls.
Yeah.
Lie to yourself about feeling good and stay off Twitter. That's how we've made it this long. The ripe old age that we have.
But how else can I lie to everyone else that I'm doing great if I stay off Twitter?
I was too smug that I made it through the Eternals leak and I didn't see anything. I was like, yeah, made it through. And then bam, Spider-Man. I was like, darn it, universe. How dare they?
Yeah, like, just
how
dare you?
How dare they?
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. And I was like, where am I right now?
I heard it. I was like, is this Legends and Libations?
It's because I miss it. It's just coming out.
Yeah. We had a crazy month, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
Well,
sorry,
but
talk about money.
I look forward to your Legends Libations returning as well. Yeah. But yeah, so just stay off the internet. Keep a weather eye or keep a closed eye. I don't know. Whatever.
A whispering eye.
Nope. That's how you get banned from social media.
That's not it? That's not the right.
I don't think that's it. That's it.
I should stop saying that all the time then.
So moving on to the other movie that we avoided spoilers for a couple months, which I'm guessing some of our listeners out there probably still are avoiding spoilers for, which we won't spoil much on this episode. I guess
we'll
might.
We'll do our best.
There's one story that I want to talk about that will be a spoiler, but we'll alert you. But the box office, they did pretty dang well for a COVID year box office. It was not bad.
It sucks that we have to caveat it like that. Like, you know, for a COVID movie, it did pretty good. Like,
right.
71 million is a pretty solid opening for most films that are not MCU films.
Right. Yeah. And for a brand new MCU property, it's not bad either. Like brand new MCU properties often like, don't do as well as their sequels do.
Yeah. And I mean, Eternals made what 71 million domestic
and like
box
165
office.
Internet worldwide.
Yeah. 165.6 so far, opening weekend got 71.297 domestic. And like, that's pretty solid, you know,
for
most
sure.
films, especially for a COVID opening. But apparently it was projected, like a lot of the industry experts were projecting it to open at about 74, 76. So it fell a little bit short.
Just a little.
Just a little.
Yeah.
That's like margin of error territory.
Like it barely didn't hit expectations.
Right.
I'm interested to see how it comes back next week. Cause like, you know, Shang-Chi maintained number one for like a month or something like that.
Yeah, I am too, because nice. I'm really torn about how soon I want to see this one again, because, you know, we talked about it and not no spoilers, but like we had mixed feelings about it. But the more I hear others talk about it, the more I'm like, maybe I do need to go give it another shot, because I had like certain expectations, certain things I wanted out of it. I think maybe on a second viewing, I might actually enjoy it more. Especially,
I'm going to watch it at home.
Yeah.
I'm at home.
I'm
from
really,
the comfort of my own bedroom.
Some people really loved it, and like I'm really considering going back and seeing it again, because some of the people I've heard make cases for it, I'm like, that's a fairly good point. And like maybe I was like expecting this or that, and I didn't really pay attention to this or that, that might make it better to me, even if it's not that I take any of my feelings about it back, but like, you know, just I enjoyed, that's one of the things I enjoy about the MCU cast. I didn't love Captain Marvel as much at first as I do now. It's still not my favorite, but I didn't like it as much as I do now. But like hearing other people talk about their love for it over the years has like made it me more affectionate toward it, you know? It's just fun to be in like an appreciation society like this, where everyone's like,
yeah,
you know, even when it's not my favorite thing, other people absolutely love it. Like Thor the Dark World, I mean, who in their right mind, but like some people in our community
absolutely
actually like that movie.
I got a lot of people being like, well, I went in with low expectations. I'm like, well, I don't do that for Marvel movies. That's not why I'm here.
Right.
Like, what community are you a part of if you're going into a Marvel film with low expectations?
What do you mean?
I think all the bad reviews actually hurt my experience of it, because I was like kind of looking for problems to some degree. I was like, what were these bad critics? Is there something wrong with this movie? It made me a little bit, like, normally when I go into a Marvel movie, I go in just to enjoy it the first time. Like I'm just going to have fun. And this time I was a little like, do I agree or are these guys just racist? You know what I mean? Like, I was like kind of analyzing whether all these review bombs were true or not, which put me in a different place than I normally watch a Marvel movie from.
I didn't read anything. We talked about a little bit on the cast and I just remember being like, no, they're wrong.
Right.
And I didn't read any of the negative stuff. So I don't know. I want to watch it at home with a bottle of Pinot. Just really take it all in.
It's going to be a struggle for Ken to want to watch it again, right? Because he hated it.
Yeah, he really did not. He was like, I've never wanted to, you know, leave the theater at a Marvel movie before. And I was like, that's saying a lot. But he's a lot harder to please than most of us. You know, he's not the biggest, you know, he likes superhero movies and he's obviously into it. Like, you know, he has to be or I wouldn't have married him. But, yeah, I mean, he's very honest about how he feels about films. We fight a lot about film.
That's funny.
Yeah. Don't base it off Ken. Don't come at me for Ken's feelings.
I'm just saying it's going to be an interesting
night. No, not you guys. The people.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
I remember when we were in the theater that opening night, that Thursday last week. I remember it like it was yesterday. the scroll came up, that block of text came up at the beginning of the movie, and I was like, oh no. Because...
Oh, right, yeah.
All of that it's doing is like, all of this could be story in the film.
Yeah, but this coming from a Star Wars fan, though, you know?
Well, that's this thing, like... Star Wars is, I mean, like, Star Wars did fine to set the, like, to set the tone for what the universe is. Like, it had a big opening scroll and, like, you know, in the 70s, like, that's fine. But, like, now we know what's going on, so they don't need the freaking scroll anymore. But I digress.
Right.
The first thought is, what are you, George Lucas? Like... That was the first thought. Then the second one was, I haven't seen a scroll like this in a hot minute. This may be a bad sign.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
I did. I thought about it. I was like, that's scroll. Having a scroll across the front is an interesting choice. Like it's an antiquated thing
that choice.
Isn't done very often, but I think their goal was to make it an epic. And like that's this like thing they're trying for, and that's what Star Wars is trying for, and so like they were trying to evoke that same idea. But anyway, we'll get to that more in depth tomorrow because we're doing the Eternals feedback episode. But yeah, by tomorrow we mean recording immediately after this for those of you watching live.
The controversial feedback. Tune in.
Yeah, like, I mean it's very interesting. A lot of people felt. Stronger than us bad, and a lot of people felt stronger than us good. So
I haven't been scared to check the feedback in a while, and I didn't check it any of it until I think Monday, and I was just like real scared to open it, but then I was very I was pleasantly surprised.
That's fair. You know, based on the activity in the Facebook group, I was like,
we're done.
did we just get ourselves canceled? Like, have we dug our own grave very quickly over one film?
I thought that I could have opinions. Oh, sorry. Anyway.
All right. Well, the other big piece of news. Well, I guess speaking on Eternals, before we get to that last thing, speaking on Eternals, Kevin Feige said this week it was in a post-Infinity Saga world. We wanted to make a bold new step and say, you don't know everything about the universe yet, he continued. And that there are these 10 spectacular heroes who you haven't met who've been here the whole time. Just an interesting quote from Kevin Feige talking about how they knew that it was going to be kind of a bold direction for the MCU to go. Like, they knew it wasn't... They were very deliberately making a bold step in that direction for Eternals. So, that's kind of cool.
I mean, choices were made.
Did he make that statement after the movie came out?
Yeah, this is recent. This is recent.
Okay.
This week,
I think. I can see... I know exactly what Ashley's thinking. So... We'll leave it until the next episode. But okay.
We'll dive in.
I can see it's all over your face.
A whole lot more on Eternals tomorrow.
Oh, God. So our last major thing to talk about is this trailer.
Yes, right? Morbius trailer.
The Morbius trailer.
Like, I didn't get too much out of this trailer. I thought there were some neat new powers shown and some interesting, like, visual effects. But from a story perspective, like, I saw a new trailer had dropped, and I was like, oh, we gotta do a breakdown right now. And then I watched it, and I was like, no, we don't. Like, not that I'm less excited than I was before, but, like, I just didn't think anything in this trailer, nothing blew me away, I guess.
That's fair. I saw the trailer in the trailers before Eternals, and like I think about halfway through it, I was like, God, this is still going.
Mm. They're really packing the whole story into the trailer. I'm like, why do they keep doing that with trailers? Like,
right? Like the part with him flying in the subway tunnel, I was like, why are you showing that? Right now, like, why are you showing that in the trailer? That would be such a great thing to have just like pop in and you know, and have discovered in the film. Like, this is a Sony problem. This is a Sony problem where they try so damn hard to just be like, look, it's all the things here. Look, the whole toy box.
Be cool. And I'm going to reference every single Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And here's Michael Keaton. Yep. Surprise. You know, ta-da.
Yeah, that was the big news that was going on the internet, is that they referenced up to 4 Spider-Man universes. In this, they have a picture of Toby Spider-Man on the wall. They have vultures. Michael Keaton is the Vulture, clearly from the MCU. He calls himself Venom, which I guess could be a reference to either you know, the Venom verse or the Spider-Man Tobey Maguire Spider-Man verse, or a different verse that has Venom. But I guess it's a version with Venom. And then, they also have on a newspaper, they have Rhino and Black Cat are mentioned in the Daily Bugle. So, the Oscorp logo is apparently also the same as from the Amazing Spider-Man. So.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Black Cat hasn't been in any Spider-Man films yet.
No, she was supposed to be in the 4th Raimi one.
Okay.
It was Elijah Dushku was going to play her.
Ooh. That's hot. Mm-hmm.
That would have been good.
Wasn't the character who was eventually going to be Black Cat in The Amazing Spider-Man? Am I wrong on that? Like, he meets a
Felicia.
Like Felicia or whatever.
Felicia Hardy?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it's Felicia Hardy.
That's it.
Yeah. I think he meets Felicia Hardy.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think so. That's what they're saying it's referenced to. I think that's the stretch here. So, like, they say all these things, and they do say Rhino and Black Cat next to each other, which so that could mean it's a reference to Amazing Spider-Man, but it also just could be that those characters also exist in this universe. The compelling ones are the Venom mention, meaning Venom exists in this world. The Toby on the wall and the Vulture by the car are the compelling ones to me. Both of the ones, the Oscorp logo.
Venom would make sense, right? Isn't Venom in the Sony universe?
Yes, but we don't know because you still haven't seen the new Venom movie.
I didn't, but I heard about the ending.
Okay, so you heard about the ending. Okay, spoiler alert for the new Spider-Man or new Venom 2. We're going to talk about it now.
Oh, TJ Safford says Felicia Hardy was in The Amazing Spider-Man 2 as Harry's assistant.
Right. That's what it was.
There we go.
So, spoiler alert for Venom 2. Here we go. At the end of Venom 2, there is a moment where Venom shifts universes, appears to shift universes, and gets out of the bed he's in and sees Tom Holland Spider-Man on the TV. And gets excited to go hunt down Spider-Man, it appears. Or, I don't know, merge with Spider-Man, something like that.
He said yummy.
He says yummy and then licks the screen.
Weird.
So
I don't like it.
That's the thing though. If Morbius exists in the world where Venom has existed up till now, that would be a different universe than the one that Tom Holland Spider-Man exists in. But he also clearly exists in the same one that the Vulture exists in, which is the same one as Tom Holland lives in currently. So
he also seems to exist in a verse where the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man exists.
Yeah, a picture from the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie. So, like, there's a lot of ways you could headcanon that.
And it said murder over it, right?
Yeah, which is a reference to the fact that Spider-Man killed Quentin Beck.
Right.
At the end of the second Spider-Man movie, Far From Home. So it's just
the second MCU Spider-Man.
Yeah, the second and the seventh Spider-Man movie.
Because we're getting the villain from the second one.
There's this thing with Jared Leto and people of my age who watched My So-Called Life, so we have to love him because he was Jordan Catalano, and there's like nothing we can do about it. So I'm excited to see him in this role, because he's such a, he really like throws everything he has into his roles, which I appreciate. But I don't like the fact that they're making him all CGI. I think they should have gone with like really good makeup effects and just let, because sometimes the CGI nowadays just ruins everything.
Yeah.
He's a vampire.
We'll see.
Well, the CGI, like, it makes it look more like the character from the comics and less like the actor, which is sometimes a bad thing for actors like Jared Leto who throw everything they have into it.
Yeah.
Because,
depends on how good the capture is and stuff though, because if they're, even if they have like a crazy mask over his face, if they're doing good performance capture, like you can still get a lot of the motion. That's what Andy Serkis is all about.
Yeah. I wonder if it'll probably be a motion capture face.
Surely.
I love makeup. Makeup effects. Especially. Yeah. I just love it.
They need to do the Buffy Angel thing where they're just like,
it's just here.
Yes.
Just slap something on the forehead.
They look like they got stung by a bee right on their nose. Yeah.
And they just do a crossfade. Yep. Like that's the whole effect. They don't even do like a transformation. They crossfade between I'm not a vampire and I'm a vampire, and they just take them and crossfade the two. It's so silly. So silly. I just remembered later on in Buffy, they start going like this, like they start shaking their head, which kind of hides the crossfade. So like, they'll be like, or they'll just like go slightly off camera and then come back up. It's like real silly stuff. Cause they looked, I knew how bad it looked. So they try to hide it. I don't know. That's so funny to me.
At least vampires are only shot at night in the dark.
Right. That's right.
Queden's like, we need less lights. On David Boreanaz.
I don't see why. The man needs all the lights.
It's interesting what they're doing moving forward, especially with Blade coming out, because in the comics, Blade trains Morbius like how to control his thirst and stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
So speaking of Blade,
blood.
Speaking of Blade, small Eternal spoiler. Since we're at that point in the podcast to talk about this news story, it was confirmed that voice, spoiler alert for Eternals, and I guess sort of past Eternals, but it was confirmed that the voice that we hear at the end talking to Dane in Eternals is Mahershala Ali.
Whitman.
So that is Blade.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yep. Super exciting. Love it.
I can't wait.
It's good. I'm excited that like we're finally getting to see that, that announcement come to fruition. Cause like they put him on stage and like, I think it was a D23 like 2 years ago or something like that. Like they put him on stage and they were like, this guy is going to be Blade. And we're like, oh shit, that's awesome. But what about Cottonmouth? And then you just don't hear from him at all. And then COVID hits and it's like, okay, everything got pushed back. And then you still just don't hear from him at all. And now it's like, oh, right. Yeah. That
Yeah.
He's, yeah, we're getting back to freaking those awesome actor. Announcements.
It's been so long now.
Those announcements.
I guess I've more come to terms with the fact that the Netflix shows might be overwritten or whatever. So, like, come to terms with it. Also, the fact that two characters look similar, not a complete deal breaker for me. I can reconcile it in my brain that two characters have a similar, can have a similar look.
Yeah.
That's fair, I guess.
I mean, you know.
Whatever.
It's not the greatest thing, but I mean, they're, you know. They've already done it with Patton Oswalt. How many times is he in the MCU now?
So that, I mean, that kind of begs the question, though, is like, what's coming forward with, what's coming forward with Dane Whitman and Blade? Like, in the comics, their only connection, at least that I've found so far, is like, they were on a team together with Captain Britain, like MI-13, I think it was called.
Oh, that's fun.
And they were like, they were hunting Dracula, like, the actual Dracula.
That's cool.
Neat.
I wonder if that's what the Blade movie's going to be about. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Or are we just going to go do another Deacon Frost? Like, I hope they don't do that. Like, can't beat Stephen Dorff in the first one. Like, I don't know. We saw a Deacon Frost story. I don't want to see it again.
And I liked what you were pointing out, Ashley, about the fact that Morbius was trained by Blade to like resist the hunger. Cause like, that is interesting. We've got Dane Whitman, Morbius, and Blade all coming into the story similar times. Like,
and then there's Moon Knight on top of all of that.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, give me my dark universe.
And what if Dane Whitman shows up in Moon Knight too?
That would make the most sense to me.
Yeah.
Because he might need to go find out about this artifact that he has.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
And, I mean, there's a lot of mythology. Well, no. Most of the Black Knight mythology is in Celtic mythology, you know, and tied up with King Arthur
and stuff. Yeah. Yeah,
right.
It's tied up in King Arthur lore and legend. I don't know if Khonshu is the best one for that, but we'll see.
And yeah, it may do a thing where like a lot of the magics are sort of connected through different forms, or like, you know, the different magics of different cultures are kind of the same thing running through different paths or whatever.
I need to know where Mephisto is going to show up. And like, that's the hard part.
Yeah, that's all we need to know. We've just been waiting for
King Cole in the chat says that they're going to hunt Mephisto.
Oh, Mephisto is Dracula.
Jeff just clutched his pearls.
Oh my goodness.
My stars.
My word. They're going to hunt Mephisto.
I like it. It's good.
How can I make this work? It's going on the board.
Oh yeah. Got to put it on the board.
Is there space left on that board?
No, there's no space left on the board.
Got to erase one.
All right. So let's hit the feedback.
All right. Looks like first up, we got Tim Brown, one of the patrons, says, "Hey, my age helps out here." So it was a chuckle, not a hey. Anyway, listening to a podcast, Spider-Man with the cape got mentioned. For me, the cape is actually a deep cut to What If 19, where Spidey wears a cape. I read this book long ago when I was a young guy. I bought it at a 7-Eleven. I have a pic of the cover, but I can't share for whatever reason. So just look up What If 19 and you will see Spidey with the cape on the cover.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did do that. And it's interesting. it's kind of Spidey. It's What If Spider-Man Never Became a Crime Fighter? Is the What If tale.
Okay.
So it looks like maybe he continued to be a wrestler or something, and he's wearing like a spider cape. Yeah. Yeah. If you can give it a quick Google, What If number 19, but if you're watching the video version, I'm dropping it in here now. See a Spider-Man wearing this little spider cape. That.
It's so ridiculous.
It'd be great. I kind of dig it.
I love how billowy it is.
Yeah, it's nice.
I dig the look.
And then there's Infinity Stones in the background.
That's what it looks like.
Ooh.
No, that's lights. That's lights.
Could be Infinity Stones.
It's probably
Stones. I have to mention on the cast. Somebody posted it, and oh gosh, I wish I could call out your name. So sorry. But someone dropped their new tattoo in our Stranded Panda chat.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
The tattoo from, it's like a Thanos. It's Thanos mixed with Pac-Man. So it's like Pac-Man colored like Thanos with a little like a purple Pac-Man with the chin.
It was Walt Kraske.
Walt Kraske.
I said it wrong.
Freaking awesome. It's that, but he's like going womp, womp, womp. And ahead of him are all six Infinity Stones, but they look like the little dashes and dots.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's super good.
It's funny.
Super good.
Everybody
tattoo.
Can give that a quick.
That's clever.
Rad, man. Good job. Good job on that one.
I see it now. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's real good.
It's real beautiful.
I was sending it to
you. Oh, actually, guess who our next feedback is from?
Stop it.
Walter Kraske.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Walt Kraske, a patron, says, I will try and make this as compact as can be. So I'm playing catch up, and I think it's the Feige Doesn't Understand episode and the fantasy draft. As someone who has spent way too much time playing fantasy football, I actually did a fantasy movie release league for about a year. If you're going to let all the pandas join in, you can't do a standard draft because you'll end up out of characters. What you want to do is assign a value to the characters, money, points, etc. You have X amount to spend and can use it on up to Y characters. Then people can mix and match and you're not stuck with limiting participation.
I just glazed over.
Oh yeah, I know what Walt's talking about with that. I used to listen to a podcast that did similar movie fantasy league like he's talking about. And what you would do is the people on the show did a draft. And so like,
right,
they would do a move. They're trying to get box office. So they're like, everybody gets $100 and you're trying to bet your $100 that you're going to own the best movies or whatever. So everybody starts like betting their $100. And then once they get through the whole movie draft, then those points get ascribed to those movies. And then all the other people out there can play by selecting movies, and they're valued at the rate that the hosts bet on it.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it works well. That is a cool way. What we were looking at doing is like a bunch of different small leagues, but like where we are all kind of in the same database. So we see who did the best in their particular leagues. It's kind of what we were getting at.
Yeah.
And having ways cool. That you could do it with like, we were talking about possibly doing it where we could program it so that you could put Jeff and me and Ash in your league if you wanted to. And we have a preset determined thing of, the things that we would have bet on. And then when they go through, they get bit on or whatever.
That's cool.
So that could be kind of neat. Cause then you could do like a fantasy league with like, you, a friend, and then the three of us, if you didn't have enough people to be in your own or whatever. I don't know. I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a friend.
Like, see how you're faring against the people that you watch and love.
Yeah.
Probably pretty good against me. I stink at that.
Yeah, just always put Ashley in your team.
Yeah, so bad.
In your league. No, you would do fine. You just didn't know what movies.
This time we're gonna pay attention to the instructions.
Yeah, this time we're going to pay attention.
Just got to know the rules.
And COVID won't mess everything up, and like, hopefully we'll be good.
It's going to be fine.
Also,
it's going to be fine.
Last week when we answered that fantasy league question, I misunderstood the question, and I answered it about our kind of fantasy league we were talking about. I think that was actually a commission episode that somebody was trying to ask for. The patron that wrote in that last week was trying to ask for a commissioned episode where we draft our favorite Avengers team. Like,
I saw that person was like, you did it wrong, but it was still funny. I was like, we did it wrong.
We did a lot. No, actually, I think that was a different person, and that also... No, yeah, that was for the actual commissioned episode we did last week that we also did wrong.
You'll pay for it. We'll kind of do it.
We'll try.
Commission an episode. We'll do our best. That's our promise.
Yep. That's accurate.
Okay. Well, let's get to the next one. Thanks, Walter, for that advice. That's not a bad idea. We'll talk about it.
Todd Shepard wrote in, Dear Ash, Matt, and Tim, Todd from Scotland here. Todd from Scotland here. And I didn't care if this will be covered or not, but it's kind of more of a What? R's are hard in Scottish. Marvel related. I feel like Sony is trying way too hard to let us know their movies are connected with the numerous Venom mentions, Oscorp Tower, and the Spider-Man painting on the wall. But my question is, how TF does Morbius know Venom's name? Venom currently is not even in the Sonyverse at the moment. Spoiler alert for Venom 2. And when he was...
Oops.
When he was on the other side of the flipping country. Anyways, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Peace. Oh, P.S. I'm just playing about being from Scotland. I'm actually from Missouri, which is in fact on Earth. I've checked. And P.S.S. I just completed my first 100-mile ultra marathon that took me 30 hours and 49 minutes to complete. And I listened to the show for about 8 hours straight Whoa. During the race. So thank you guys for helping my time of nonstop running go by faster.
Yeah, I asked Whoa. Him how his mental state was doing. I was like, whoa.
That's a horrible idea. Like, I appreciate it so much that people like to listen to the show. But man, that does not seem motivated for running. Like, I feel like music. I mean, I guess like, if you're doing that many hours, you got to do some talk, right? Mix it up. 30 hours.
Maybe. Oh. 30 hours straight, though, of just going sounds awful.
Yeah, it does. 100 miles.
You when you said that's a horrible idea, the first thing I thought of was, yeah, God, running for like any amount of time is awful.
I don't run.
I meant listening to us, but yes, that is also just the ultra marathon in general. Or just yeah, running.
Good job. Congratulations.
Amazing.
Yeah. Congrats, Todd. That's way more, that way, like, magnitudes more exercise than I have ever done.
Done in your lifetime, yeah. Yeah.
Like, combined in my lifetime, probably.
Like, I've hiked.
No, that's not accurate.
I've hiked a lot, but 100 miles is a lot, even a lot of hiking.
Mm-mm. Woof.
Like, I've done, like, 16 mile days, but like
that's like 97 too many.
Yeah. I think 100 miles is probably like 100 too many.
Yeah.
I could walk a mile in like 3 hours.
And I could walk 500
miles. Don't get me started.
I hit the row machine today for 12 minutes, right? And it felt like I had a really long cardiac event.
Oh, no.
More than anything. No. Like, I wasn't exercising. It was just a long cardiac event.
That's, you know, cardio health, I guess. It's,
sure.
How many miles did you row?
It was 1,500 meters.
Okay.
So a kilometer and a half.
So as an American, I have no idea what you just said. No.
Less than a mile, yeah.
That's fine.
Well, no, it hurt.
Sounds painful.
I was like, I got this. It'll be fine. So like, power to you, Todd, for running, especially for 30 hours when I was like, 12 minutes hurts.
Jeff, now. Let me ask you this. Did you listen to our podcast while you were rowing that 12 minutes?
Oh, I didn't. That's probably what it was.
You would have been able to go so much longer.
Yeah. Just remember, guys, you can go longer if you do it while you listen to the podcast.
I'm so glad you said that and not me. Oh. It was right there.
It was right there.
But to Todd's original point, yeah, how the hell does Morbius know Venom's name?
I mean, does he do the We Are... okay, so spoiler alerts for the Venom movies. It's just like, it's all kind of tangentially connected, and some people have seen it, some people haven't on this podcast. He does say We Are Venom at the end of the last movie. I don't think he does it much before that. Like, does he say his name in other situations? I don't know. I can't remember.
Was it announced like on national syndicated TV or something? Like,
I mean, I would think it could have been.
Did they tear up downtown and were there people there?
Not in the second one as much, but there, I mean, okay. There's definitely scenes in the first one where he's like tearing through downtown and like messing things up. But I don't know that he ever does it in a way that like reveals his identity.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, we haven't seen everything he's done, so.
I hope that's like what Adrian Toomes is like going to go talk to him about. I'm just trying to think of any way to connect anything. Because he would have seen Spider-Man and been like, that looks like Spider-Man on roids. Like, I don't understand what, you should go check that out, Vampire Boy.
Vampire boy.
Go check that
I just
out.
Don't know why they would know each other. I can't, like, yeah. It's interesting.
This is why I think all of this is related to the Doctor Strange spell. I think that some of they're going to be dropping these sorts of hints in that, like, worlds are colliding, you know? And then Doctor mm-hmm. Strange's spell is going to make worlds collide. Like, and that's like all this stuff has been symptoms of this spell that is going to be ongoing. That's my theory.
Are you ready?
Did they talk about the snap or anything like that in the Sonyverse? I mean, I guess in the Spider-Man movies, but.
Well, yeah, the Spider-Man movies for sure. Mm-hmm. So far all we have is Venom. And that was in a separate universe until the very last second to the Venom 2. So.
Okay.
Who knows?
Well, 1, 2, 3, 4. We've got 5 weeks until Spider-Man.
Are you kidding me?
No Way Home comes out.
When does Hawkeye start? Like next week or the week after?
Is it next week?
It might be next week.
Two weeks.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Cool.
Or, well, 2 weeks from tonight.
And that's going to be on Wednesdays?
Yeah. Okay. And it's the first 2 episodes.
Oh, okay. God.
I'm going to have to request off that day.
That is going
to
be a late night. That is going to be a late, late night for sure.
That is going to hurt.
What do we end up calling it?
Side note, you're going to be on your trip for how long? Some late night hotel podcasting for you, Matt.
Oh, yeah. It is. I'm going to be in Vegas for like 10 days. And so... I was planning to do a lot of podcasting from the hotel. I hope the internet's good. That'll be the tricky part. We will see.
We will see.
All right. Nathan Stutz sent us an email. Hey, Matt, Jeff, and Ashley. The new Morbius trailer just dropped and it looks amazeballs. I'm still confused though as to where this takes place. Is it in the MCU or a different universe? They show Adrian Toomes, aka Vulture, Michael Keaton from Spider-Man Homecoming, as well as a Daily Bugle article and graffiti of Spider-Man with murderer written across it. I will point out that the Spider-Man graffiti definitely looks like Toby's suit. But then in the trailer, they mention San Francisco, and Morbius even straight up says he's Venom to that thug when he changes his face to his vampire face, but then changes back and pretty much says, JK, LOL. Mm-hmm. But so I'm really eager to see if this is in the MCU or if the multiverse has anything to do with this movie. Either way, I'm super stoked. What do you guys think? Peace and chicken grease. Love, Crumb.
I have a theory about this, I'm Venom JK line. It's not in the movie.
Sony's lying to us.
I'm less okay with it. I don't trust them as much. You have to have a lot of trust for someone to want them to lie to you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Well, they've gotten to see what it's like working with Marvel for what?
Right.
2 movies. They know.
They want us to know it's connected, but that line will feel really weird and silly in the movie. And I think it's not in there. That's my bet. And you want to take me up on it? I'm going to Vegas in a few weeks. How much money you want to put on it?
I'll put 5.
All right, 5. Wait, who won the...
When is Morbius
who won our out? Last bet?
I don't even remember our last bet.
It was how many Eternals would die.
Oh, what did we say?
Well, I guess we should talk about that on tomorrow's episode. Let's talk about that on tomorrow's episode, because that will definitely be a spoiler.
Did I win some money?
I don't know. We'll Probably talk about it on tomorrow's episode.
You were like, everyone, they're all dead.
Darn.
Okay. But that's we've been talking about it, I guess. Crumb.
Yeah,
sorry.
We beat that. We have beaten this horse.
But like, yeah, we don't know. We don't know where it fits. But my theory is the Doctor Strange thing. And now my new theory is that line's not in the movie.
Apparently it's going to release January 28th, 2022. So we'll find out relatively soon.
Dude, it's just, I know that Morbius is not MCU proper. It's not Marvel Studios, and we're not as excited about it as we are for other things. But like, dude, it is MCU. Vulture's in it. Adrian Toomes is in it. Like, and we got another Marvel movie coming out like 4 weeks after Spider-Man. After we're going to be flipping out over No Way Home, and one of the most anticipated ones of all of these, we get another one a month later. We just got Eternals last week.
Yeah.
This is an embarrassment of riches.
Is Morbius right after Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Spider-Man's in 5 weeks and then Morbius is the next month.
Oh, okay. Got to lower my expectations. I will go into that one with low expectations and be happy.
That's one that I can see with lowered expectations.
Well, the thing we haven't talked about together on the podcast since Venom came out is like Venom is a Sony movie leading into No Way Home. And
now we've talked about that.
We haven't talked about the fact that like they do that thing at the post credit sequence. Like why would you put the post credit sequence of Venom licking the TV there? If you don't intend to have him in the Spider-Man movie that's coming out in like 3 months.
5 weeks.
Probably because Tom Holland's contract is up and he's going to have to be on Sony's dime now.
Well, sure. But like, I just think that post-credit sequences normally lead to a film that's coming soon. At least that's the way Marvel does it. So I think that Venom is pointing to No Way Home. So
you think that soon? Ooh.
I think it's very, very possible that Venom will be in No Way Home. I think he might even be in the next trailer. If not, he'll be in the post-credit sequence.
Okay.
That's my take on it.
I could see him being in the post-credit sequence. And, you know, honestly, I could see Morbius being in the post-credit sequence if it's one of those situations where, you know, multiverse crossover event happens and... like take Spider-Man with them.
Right. Yeah. But that's the thing. The Venom movie ended with him already. That already happened. So Venom has already crossed over into a different universe. He even mentions the multiverse right before he does the crossover. He talks about the multiverse. He leaps over and then he is in, it's the first actual mention of an actual character who actually knows about the multiverse in the I don't know if the ancient one called it that.
She did use the word multiverse.
Okay. And also Loki. So never mind. That's a silly thing. But Loki's outside the universe. It doesn't count.
He who remains.
Yeah, he who remains definitely described the multiverse.
Yeah, well, the first episode of Loki, Multiverse of War. Yeah.
Okay. I was wrong.
There it is. I just wanted to hear those three words.
I was trying to think because I was thinking of Quentin Beck and how he like talked about the multiverse, but it was bullshit. And now like we have someone like a regular street level Venom talking about the multiverse and how he's traveled it. Or at least how the hive mind of the symbiotes has traveled it.
Let's get to the next one.
Yeah.
Looks like it's Spider-Man related, though, so, you know,
we'll
stay on topic. Wesley Powell says, "Hello, pandas! I have a Spider-Man No Way Home theory to share. Okay, hear me out. With Ben Reilly taking over as Spider-Man in current Amazing Spider-Man comics, this would make a lot of sense, assuming Toby and Andrew are actually in No Way Home. My theory is that they get stuck in the MCU. By the end of the movie, Andrew or Toby... my money would be on Andrew, take up the moniker of Scarlet Spider, a.k.a. Ben Reilly, since they already have a Peter/Spider-Man. Then Toby probably doesn't make it out alive. I know it would be a different take than the comics, but that seems to be the MCU way, take an existing story and retell it in a new and interesting way. Plus, seeing Garfield as the Scarlet Spider would be awesome. Okay, that's all I've got.
Garfunkel?
Yeah, it's Garfunkel.
I don't care for him.
Well, I love
too
that.
Pretty.
I love this idea that like the, you know, different from comics. It's not a clone or whatever, but just like, you know,
Scarlet Spider was.
That's the point. Yeah. Like,
sorry, that's a dumb joke.
Wait. Okay. I think I was already referencing Scarlet Spider, but yes, Scarlet Spider was a clone, but this is not. So like he's using that same property, but like spinning it a little bit. It's just a multiverse version. It's a variant. And now he's the Scarlet Spider. I like that idea.
Okay. I can get behind that.
And I do think that, as much as we don't, some people don't like, I think this is you, I believe Ash, you don't like Garfunkel partially because he's just a little too cool to be Peter. Right. That was kind of your take. Like, I could see him being, like, a different character. He's the Scarlet Spider, and he's, like, out doing his own thing, and he's been, it's, yeah. like, just, like, a little bit of a darker, cooler version of Spider-Man.
Okay. I can get behind it.
I can get behind that. I like that idea. I like that idea, Wesley.
Then we get plucky Peter from Tobey.
How has anyone seen Tobey Maguire in the last 15 years?
No.
Not like,
has anyone
not like, have
seen,
we seen
even his... what he looks like at this point?
Not even like, have we seen him in film? Just like, has anybody witnessed he's alive?
Like, yeah. Has anyone seen him? Like, I know like Brendan Fraser just came out of the woodwork. Like, where's Toby?
Oh my God, that's so funny. What has Toby Maguire been doing?
I have no clue.
I don't know, man.
I'm sure he's been in stuff, right? Surely.
I don't know.
I haven't seen him much.
I haven't seen him in anything since The Great Gatsby.
I didn't even see that. I don't think I've seen him in anything since Tropic Thunder.
Apparently, he was in a TV series called The Spoils of Babylon.
He's in the, I think he's making out with Robert Downey Jr. in the fake, trailers.
Oh, the movie. Yeah.
Oh.
When he's Australian priest.
Yeah, he's an Australian priest and he's like making sexual That's innuendos funny. With Tobey Maguire. That movie, yep. man.
It's one of my favorites. Like, oh my God.
It's amazing. And the fact that a lot of the things in it exists is like wow and still really amazing and good and funny and wild.
It was so funny that nobody said, I mean, they tried to say stuff and everyone's like, no, leave Tropic Thunder alone.
Yeah, you can't say shit about Tropic Thunder.
Even Tom Cruise comes in so hot in that movie. And
Oh my God.
You want a G4?
Lots of money.
That's one of Tom Cruise's best roles. Like for real. Yep. Like Tom Cruise is not the chameleon at all. I did not know that was Tom Cruise for the entire movie. And at the end of the movie, like they show Tom Cruise. I was like, what? No, no way.
This is Red Dragon. He's like, oh yeah.
Flaming
really?
Dragon.
Flaming Dragon. Why don't you take a step back and literally fuck your own face? I was just like, Tommy. You sound like me talking to like the airline customer service.
Oh, God, that's so funny.
All right, guys. Well, that will be about all for tonight's podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com or whatever. it does redirect, I think, to strandedpanda.com. But strandedpanda.com, we're all there. Come send us your feedback. We're going to be talking a lot about these movies over the next few weeks, and I cannot wait. Let's start advertising for it now. Hawkeye. Late Night Hawkeye, or whatever we're calling it. Do we come up with a name?
Red Eye Hawkeye. I think it was Red Eye Hawkeye or Harrowing Hawkeye.
That's pretty good. I like Red Eye Hawkeye.
Red Eye Hawkeye is pretty solid.
So 2 a.m. Central or whatever, we're going to watch Hawkeye the night it comes out. And it's going to be 2 episodes. It's going to be like take off work the next day kind of thing. And just like,
not this girl.
Schedule it now.
I'm pretty excited about it. So join us for that, on twitch.tv/champagneTV. And, we'll be posting it around, but I think it's in the, show notes to today's episode, the, scener.com/strandedpanda, where you can, come join us for the
scene.
Join us for the live watch. We all like kind of chat and talk about what's going on. In a non-obtrusive way, in actual, you know, text chat, not talking chat.
Yeah. Cool. We mute all of our mics.
Yeah. The mics are muted and the video's muted. We're just watching it together. So, join us for that. That's going to be super fun. We'll be back soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye. I thought you were going to sneeze.
Until.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandaTV and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.